Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. I'm going to invite the congregation to be seated. Pastor Pear chose a long gospel reading for us today. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already decided that Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, would betray Jesus. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from supper, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." And Simon responded, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had reclined again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you should also do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, slaves are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. I am not speaking of all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but it is to fulfill the scripture. The one who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me. I tell you this now before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe that I am he. Very truly I tell you, whoever receives one whom I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me." After saying this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and declared, "Very truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." One of his disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, was reclining close to his heart. Simon Peter therefore motioned to him to ask Jesus of whom he was speaking. So reclining next to Jesus, he asked, "Lord, who is it?" And Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." So when he had dipped the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, son of Simon Iscariot. And after he received the piece of bread, Satan entered into him. Jesus said to him, "Do quickly what you are going to do." Now no one knew why he had said this to him. Some thought that because Judas had the common purse, Jesus was telling him, "Buy what we need for the festival," or that he should go give something to the poor. So after receiving the piece of bread, he immediately went out, and it was night. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God had been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am only with you a little longer. You will look for me. And as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Well, good morning. Pastor Pear shared with me that your congregation is the middle of a sermon series about the hero's journey tied to Pastor Rory and his sabbatical this summer. And so I'd like you to take a couple moments as I transition to the pray ground to think, when you hear the word hero, how do you define it? How do you define a hero? Who is a hero to you and why? All right, Dan, I'm going to walk to the pray ground for the cameras. So this morning, I brought one of my favorite children's books called The Rabbit Listened. And we are all children of God. We even just heard Jesus call us little children. So I'd like you, as you're reflecting on that very adult question, to also be open to hearing this story. And I wanted to ask for all the kids, I'd like to come join you and read this story to you. Oh, Bluey's here too. Excellent. And invite you, if you'd like to come and see the story with me. This is one of my favorite books. It's called The Rabbit Listened. And when I think about Jesus and what it means to love one another, this is my favorite book. One day, Taylor decided to build something. Something new. Something special. Something amazing. Taylor was so proud. Wow, look at that awesome brick tower that Taylor made. Have you ever built something super high out of blocks or Legos? It's a lot of fun. But then out of nowhere, the birds came and crashed it all down. Things came crashing down. How do you think Taylor felt? Yeah, I'd feel really sad too. The chicken was the first to notice. Cluck, cluck, cluck. What a shame. I'm so sorry, sorry, sorry this happened. Let's talk about it. Cluck, cluck, cluck. But Taylor didn't feel like talking, so the chicken left. Next came the bear. Grrr, how horrible. I bet you feel so angry. Let's shout about it. Grrr, rar, 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 rar. But Taylor didn't feel like shouting, so the bear left. The elephant knew just what to do. Chumpadol, I can fix it. We just need to remember exactly the way things were before. But Taylor didn't feel like remembering, so the bear left. Oh, the elephant left. One by one they came. The hyena, hee 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 hee, let's laugh about it. The ostrich, gulp, let's hide and pretend nothing has happened. The kangaroo, tiss tiss tiss, what a mess. Let's throw it all away. And the snake, let's go knock down someone else's. But Taylor didn't feel like doing anything with anybody, so eventually they all left until Taylor was all alone. In the quiet, Taylor didn't even notice the rabbit, but it moved closer and closer. Until Taylor could feel its warm body. Do any of you have a pet at home? Yeah, does your pet ever curl up next to you so you can feel your pet's warm body? Yeah, there's something cozy, right? about having a pet that can cozy with you. Together they sat in silence, and Taylor said, "Please stay with me." The rabbit listened. The rabbit listened as Taylor talked. The rabbit listened as Taylor shouted. The rabbit listened as Taylor remembered and laughed. The rabbit listened to Taylor's plans to hide, to throw everything away, and to ruin things for someone else. Through it all, the rabbit never left. And when the time was right, the rabbit listened to Taylor plan to build again. "I can't wait," Taylor said. "It's gonna be amazing." "What do you see?" It does look like a great castle, doesn't it? As Taylor reimagines what could be. For me, I love this book because I see Jesus in the rabbit. A reminder that Jesus always loves us and wants to be there for you when you're mad or you're sad or you're angry or don't know how to solve a problem or just need someone to be with you. And that's what Jesus asked of us when we talk about what it means to love one another too. So thank you for letting me read my favorite story with you. Torsten, may I hand off your book to you? Thank you. My kids are here too. Thank you for letting me join you for story time today, and please feel free to look at the book. Thank you so much. The rabbit listened. When we think of a hero, is it the rabbit who listened, or is it something else? What does it mean when Jesus, on the night of his betrayal, right, in the midst of having his closest friend betray him, which for those of us who have lived long enough, we've all experienced betrayal at some point in our lives. Jesus continues to symbolize in that foot washing that God's grace and love is for all people. And then asks us to live into that grace and to follow it through tender acts of service that convey compassion to one another. He takes time to not go out in a big sermon or make a big speech. But he tells the disciples, "Watch and see what I'm doing." And he spends time one-on-one with them, tenderly caring to them and demonstrating compassion, presence, listening. I'm reading a book right now, which my husband will be like, "Oh no, don't go too far into talking about this." I'm reading a book currently called The Fourth Turning Is Here, which somewhat talks about a crisis going on in our country. And I imagine each of us are feeling it to some degree. Our concerns about the fabric of our community being not only frayed, but torn apart. Of maybe experiencing that in here at CTK, in our families, in our larger communal life. And not knowing how to engage in that. In there, the author talks a lot about heroes and what it means to be a hero. I'm very curious what a hero means to you. Because for me, I heard in the scripture today, Jesus tried to reframe it for us. Love one another as I have loved you. Years ago, I moved to Gustavus Adolphus Lutheran Church as a parish pastor. My very first 2 weeks as a new pastor on the east side of St. Paul, I encountered a very interesting dilemma. Two teenagers walked into the church wearing beragged backpacks, asking for help. I ushered them in and I brought them in, much to what would have been the church ladies' consternation if they had known at that time. I brought them to our nicest living room space, put them on the nice couches, and I brought out the silver trays and got them water and got them food, and I fed them and I sat and I listened, and they shared their story. 15-year-old and 16-year-old brother and sister who had left home because the stepfather had started abusing the sister. And the younger brother wasn't going to let his sister leave home alone. They went off together, and they had been living in the woods near my church, but the weather was starting to get cold, and they didn't know what else they were going to do. They came in because they saw the church steeple through the woods, and they thought maybe they'll be the people who could offer sanctuary and help. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what I was going to do beyond providing food and water and listening. I didn't know, like, the pastor's emergency fund could put them up in a hotel for maybe a week, but what do I do with minors? How do I help them get to safety? And they were scared if they moved into a system that they would be put right back where they were experiencing harm. And so I did what any good young millennial pastor, now I'm an old millennial, would do. I Googled it, and I looked it up, and up came StreetWorks and a hotline number. I called it. It is an emergency team of two social workers wearing green bags that said StreetWorks that work just with youth and young adults between the ages of 14 and 24 experiencing homelessness here in the Twin Cities. Beacon is a part of it, which you support. LSS is a part of it, and other nonprofits that are trying to help address homelessness for our young people. They came out and they met with these two siblings and they offered them all of their options. They said, we can get you a shelter bed tonight and help get you to safety. They said, if you want to go back to the woods, we can give you a map of where it's safe for you to sleep, and we can give you a tent and a sleeping bag. They said, we can get you bus tokens for the trains and the buses so that you have somewhere to sleep at night. We can just listen and give you these resources, and you can call us when you're ready. They put the autonomy back to those two teenagers so they can make the decision themselves. Their brother and sister chose that night to go to an emergency shelter that's called Safe House. They left with the caseworkers, and I was so grateful for those helpers who came and listened and put the power back for those teenagers to make the choice best for themselves. A few months later, I got a phone call from the social worker at LSS saying they've been reunited and they're living safely with an aunt. They're at their aunt's house, they're safe from harm, and they're back in high school. I am so grateful for that good news. It was the beginning of my story with LSS, in which my heart was captured. And it's why I said yes to my new call, is because I want to be a part of that work that all of us is called to as the church, to love one another and to see how we are this web of love that intervenes in multiple ways to provide stability, to provide hope to people who just need someone like the rabbit who listened. Now that I've been at LSS as an employee, I've had the opportunity to visit the Safe House a decade later, where those two teenagers first landed. It's an undisclosed location. You really have to be an employee to go there because we want to keep these teenagers safe. I was welcomed with open arms by the house parent who ushered me in, gave me a hug. She'd never met me before. And she said, come on in. I got a cup of tea on the stovepot right now. Let's sit down and we'll chit-chat. And before I knew it, she had told me all about her life. And she'd shared stories about the six kids currently sheltering there that night. And she told me when they first come that very first night, They cling to their backpack. They still hold on to whatever they've brought with them because they're ready to flee at a moment's notice. But over time, as they build relationships and trust, as they receive the gift of love and hope, they begin to leave their belongings in their bedroom. They don't hoard the food anymore in their backpacks, but can trust, just like a teenager at their own home, that the fridge is stocked with food and they can eat when they are hungry. They stay up late laughing and watching TV shows on YouTube and Netflix. And the house parent said to me, that is the best gift in the world, when they start to act just like any other teenager who has a stable home life. For me, the heroes are you. The heroes are that house parent. The heroes are those two teenagers who advocated for themselves and chose to say, we have hope for a better future. Who is a hero to you? And how do you respond when Jesus demonstrates to you how to faithfully follow him with loving, tender acts? In Jesus' name, amen.